kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
No, it's not.
But it's righteousness. And it's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He said, that's what I want you to see.
All right.
He says, I know that you need food. I know that you need bread. Yeah. I know these things will nourish the body.
Yeah.
They're nourishment for the body.
Yeah.
But God wants us to know, but that's not what's sustaining the body.
Yeah.
And that's not what's sustaining our life.
Yeah.
It is God that wakes us up in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's God's breath that we breathe.
Yeah.
God woke us up. And we can say, thank God that our bed wasn't our cooling board.
All right.
And that our sheep wasn't our winding sheet.
All right.
God said, first seek ye the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And all of his righteousness.
Yeah.
And what he's really trying to say, that I need you to stay focused.
Stay focused.
And I don't want you to get caught up in the things of this world.
No.
I don't want you to get caught up.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Aren't you glad the blood still works? To God be the glory. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now as we enter into your word. Let the Holy Ghost tailor the text we're teaching. Meet us right where we are, then minister to us there and lift us to the place you'd have us to be, that you might receive all glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. I want to commence reading at verse 14. Joshua 17 and 14 says, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord had blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. If Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Where you go from here is up to you. Where you go from here is up to you. I want you to look at your neighbor, if you will, and say to them, neighbor, where you go from here is up to you. Now ask them, isn't that good news? If it is, come on, give God some praise. Loving greatness is one thing. Laboring for greatness is another. One of our esteemed deacons who's now gone on to be with the Lord used to say all the time, you're no greater than the things you do. And want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that is a true statement, because truth of the matter is, when we look at the text and we understand that Joseph's sons are dealing with an expectation that has fallen short of the glory of their perceived greatness. You know, sometimes you're great, but you're greater than other folk know you are. Sometimes you're great and you're greater than you think you are. And so Joshua is dealing with the question, so you say you're great? Well, if you're truly great, there are some things characteristic of those who are great. And so the truth of the matter is, he's asking the question, can you back your greatness up? Look at the text if you don't mind, because Joshua had given each of Israel's tribes land in Canaan to settle on. And some of the Israelites complained about the assigned land to them. And they complained that their land was either too small in size or too hard to conquer, or both. When we look at our verse, we're going to look at some interesting things that Joshua deals with in verse 15, because it's important to see that you can't please everybody. Now, Joshua was handing out the assignments for the land, and no doubt there are going to be people who always think that they deserve more than what they get. But now there is a different group of people who ascribe themselves to greatness. And one of the things you're going to recognize that Joshua recognized as the leader of the Israelites was this, that to whom much is given, much is required. You say you are great. Now here's what I love about him. Though he gives them one lot and one portion, what he does is he gives them unlimited possibility to expand their territory. If they are truly a great people, if they are as the sons say they are, then they ought to be able to take what they got and multiply that by the use of their own strength. You see, a whole lot of folk love how greatness sounds. But when you really have greatness, you have more than sound, you've got strength. So I want to share some things. Let's look at the claim, first of all, of greatness. But the Bible says, if thou be great, since you claim you're great. This tribe informed Joshua that they were great in the 14th verse, just the verse before the 15th one here. And while the primary reference to great here refers to numbers, yet the idea of greatness in position is also present. He's talking about his people are great in numbers. But again, he's not only talking about numbers, but he's talking about greatness in position. For the greatness of numbers does not always suggest that you will have a great position. And so here is what the sons of Joseph were talking about. Yes, look at how great we are. Look at how many we are. Look at how grand we stand. We deserve more than what we have here. And so Joshua is saying to them, what you're saying is because you have this greatness, your position in terms of assigned property should be higher and greater than what's been assigned. Now, one of the things that I want you to look at and I want you to note here is because they expected recognition and privilege as a result of who their daddy was. A whole lot of us are hinging our success on what mama and daddy used to be, what mom and daddy accomplished, where mom and daddy had ascended to. But how many of you know if you have greatness on the inside of you, you start from where mom and daddy left off and you escalate and elevate the territory to new dimensions. Look again, because when you look at this, you'll understand it's making clear, Joshua, but if you are truly great, you would not have to tell the people you are great. They will know it. That's one of the things about greatness. As a matter of fact, when you're truly great, you don't have to wear a badge. A sign. Get on a loudspeaker, PA system, shouting, I am great. You don't have to go around with an air puffed up like you are great. If you're great, greatness will speak for you. See, a whole lot of folk are not great like they suppose they are. They're just puffed up. When I was a kid, I used to like Cheetos. And Cheetos came in two forms. One was the crunchy, substantive Cheetos. And the other was the, yeah, y'all had them, huh? The puffed up ones. And I learned from a child that a little bitty bag of the crunchy ones gave more satisfaction than the big old bag of the puffed up ones. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I had to eat three or four of the puff ones just to get enough satisfaction in my mouth, but one good crunchy one.
I hear you.
Lord, I wish I had a witness here. I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, greatness is in the substance, not just in the size. A whole lot of folk are puffed up like they are greater than what they really are, when the truth of the matter is they just got a whole lot of air in them. So Joshua is saying, listen, if you are great, if you are who you say you are, then you ought not have to tell nobody. You ought to be able to prove that you are great. Another place somebody say cream rises. If you're great, you can be great. You can be all the way at the bottom of the barrel. But notice just as time and as stirring takes place, the cream is going to continue on to rise on. You ain't got to tell nobody you all that and you all this. Just be you and do you and watch how you rise. I wish somebody hear me here today. You don't need to complain about your position and where you are. You deserve better. Just do what you do. Somebody will recognize you. You might not be on the front line. You might be all the way to the back, but keep working your work. keep doing what you do, and sooner or later you'll be brought to the front of the line. Just understand that greatness has a way of reaching the top elevations. So not only is there a claim of greatness, but there's a complaint of greatness. Listen again. If Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee, they got the assignment. Mount Ephraim is too narrow, too small, not enough, insufficient. Look at what the word says. Because the complaint here was that their land amount was too small. Some of the preceding verses indicate that this tribe had not done a good job, listen, of driving out the enemy from their inheritance. Listen now. They're complaining now that what they have is too small for the number of people they are. But history shows, the past shows, where they used to be shows that they didn't do a great job with the good land they had before. See, what you don't understand is, my brothers and sisters, that if you are great, you'll be great where you are. And your past has a way of catching up with you. Now listen to this. They would not have had problems with where they are now if they wouldn't have had problems with where they used to be then. See, what you don't understand is, if you don't get it together now, it's going to be difficult to get it together later. And so there were giants and enemies in their past that they didn't deal with. Now it's affecting what they now have. See, some of you got some demons and some giants in your past that you've run from instead of putting them on the run from you. And what you don't understand is, because you have not lived up to your potential in the past, don't expect that your position is going to be elevated because of your puffiness, because of your perceived greatness. Because you're going to find out, brothers and sisters, and I've learned this long time ago, that just because you've got big numbers don't mean that you've got big people. Let me put it another way. That everybody that's in this church isn't doing what they're supposed to do in this church. They don't tithe. Now you know if I'm talking about you or somebody else. They don't serve. They don't attend Bible study, don't attend prayer service, don't attend Sunday school or church school. Y'all getting quieter and quieter. They don't give what they ought to give in terms of ministry gifts to the church that God has vested in them. They don't make full proof of their ministry. And yet there are great numbers. We're the greater King David Baptist Church. But listen at this. What are we greater than? Are we greater than the Lesser King David Baptist Church? Are we greater than just the King David Baptist Church? Or are we greater than just a name? Are we greater because of the things we do and the God we serve and the service we give? Are we greater because we're God's people utilizing ministry to its fullest, making full proof of our resources to the glory of God, helping and sowing into the community and into people's lives, making ministry count? Are we greater because of what we do or because of our name? See, because I got news for you. If the numbers dwindle down to just 10, 20, 50 people, we'll still be named. Ah, y'all got it. The Greater King David Baptist Church. And so they had a name. But there was not the corresponding reality of the name. And so many of us live on all that's been accomplished from the past. And we understand that we've been positioned to do greater things. The late, great Isaiah Warner said to me, son, you ought to be able to take this church farther than I have taken it, because I was able to take this church further than the pastors before me, because I stood on their shoulders. He said, and now you stand on my shoulders. And it means you can see further than I could see. And you ought to be able to take this church farther than I've ever been able to take it before. And the pastor after me, whom God places here, should be able to take it even further than me, because he'll be standing on my shoulders, and greater works than these. You remember Jesus said that, don't you? Shall ye do? Because I go back to the Father. You're not great because you have a great name. You're great because you do great things. And so the record is, their complaint of greatness is, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Part of their problem was not lack of land, but lack of labor. Somebody will catch that on the way home. I say their problem wasn't a lack of land, but a lack of labor. They didn't drive out the enemy in the past. Look at this. And they're scared to deal with the enemies in the present. Listen, listen. Not only is there the claim of greatness and there is the complaint of greatness, but I want you to see the charge for greatness. If thou be a great people, then get up to the wood country and cut down, listen, for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. If you ain't got enough, it's more for the taking. The question is, are you prepared to take what you want? You see, there is a word that gives us a helpful, holy hint that will help us to understand. The violent taketh by force. Listen, I got news for you, that the enemy is not trying to let or allow your coast to be enlarged, your territories to be expanded without a fight. You just can't say the Lord said and just think everything's going to be all right. The Lord said, so therefore, because he has said, he has given you the ability to do what he said, but you're going to have to do your part. And what you got to realize is that the greatness comes in when you begin to labor for that you've been assigned, that you've been allowed, that you've been given. So sometimes we get mad with God because somebody else gets more than we get. And we think we're greater than them. We deserve more than them. We deserve a better position than them. And listen to what Joshua was saying. He said, ain't no problem, you can have some more. But I'm going to tell you where you're going to have it at. Y'all getting quiet on me. Listen to this, and I like to tell our ministers and folk who work, listen, God called you to preach, preach. God called you to preach, preach. But first, get prepared to preach. Not only should you get prepared to preach, but you ought to have a purposeful preach, which means you know why you're preaching. But then thirdly, God will show you where you are to preach. Because he called me to preach here. And if I let you preach here, it's a privilege, not a right. I wish I had a witness here. And so you, if you're a preacher and you aren't preaching, maybe you ought to consider what you say you are. because there's a whole lot of streets to preach to. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me, preachers. A whole lot of corners to preach to, a whole lot of nursing homes to preach to, a whole lot of prisons to preach to, a whole lot of places to preach to. He didn't call you just to preach behind a pulpit. I'm a pastor preacher, not just a preacher. I wish I had a helper in the house. Yeah, you can enlarge your territory. On your job, he'll give you a pulpit. With your friends, he'll give you a pulpit. In the mall, he'll give you a pulpit. Y'all not hearing me. On the street corners around the drug addicts, he'll give you a pulpit. There are places he will share with you. He wants you to speak a word to them. You can enlarge your territory. And so, but it ain't going to be here. I let you preach too much. Other folk go somewhere else to hear somebody else because they can't hear me. Or just take a break that Sunday. I know other pastors have that problem, that preach and pastor, that folk drive up and don't see your car. They keep on driving. They come in and it's offering time and you hadn't come yet. They put the offering and keep on out the door. Pastor ain't here today. Who preaching today? Don't act like I ain't talking to nobody here. I know somebody. And so, no, it's a privilege to preach at the Greater King David Baptist Church. Listen. Joshua said, if you're really great, prove it. If you're really great, prove it. If you are who you say you are, prove it. Somebody said they're singing. Well, the only way to prove that is to sing. And when you open up your mouth, somebody say, oh yeah, that's a singer there. Or they'd be like, Lord, have mercy. Whatever you say you are, there ought to be some proof, evidence, facts that it is what it is. And if it isn't what it is, you need to change your claim to fame. Listen. Joshua says to them, if it's so, prove it, prove it, prove it. Their new assignment was to conquer tough land. Changed their assignment. Gave them a larger territory. But when he gave them a larger area, he says, now, I'm going to give you land, but they got a lot of trees on it.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of people pass up good land because they don't know what to do with the trees. He said, your first problem is you're going to have to cut the trees down. And the trees are symbolic of those things that were there already, established already, that you're going to have to come against and remove them from their previously established position so that you can construct what you want. Y'all didn't get that, did you? See, sometime God will say, I'm gonna give you all of this, but all of this was here before you got here. And it looks like it looks because it was here before you. But if you've got another plan, if you have got another design, then what you're going to have to do first before you construct is you're going to have to do a little destruct. Destruction on that land. Cut them down. Clear them out. Make that place workable so you can build up what you want. But then he said, listen, your problem ain't just trees. You got some giants.